Previously on Colors.
Jed Hashem is a Palestinian-American. He's vice president of a group called Atitna International. It was founded by Elijah Kahlenberg. He's a Jewish-American student. They both attend the University of Texas at Austin.
I met Elijah about a year ago, actually, in the spring of 2023, and we closely formed a friendship that saw our aspirations very much be the same, which was that we wanted to see both people come together and have civil dialogue and have a mutual understanding.
Elijah, why is what you're doing so important right now at this very moment?
I would say in this very moment, the United States of America cannot fathom that our two peoples can coexist in a civil and joint space.
Coming up in this episode of Colors.
Sasa Akil is 21 years old and she's written a book.
This book is about, I think me, really.
It's called The Culmination of All My Despair and the Music That Saves Me.
Just the things that I think about, I experience, I enjoy, things that I love, and things that make me sad in the world. And I think like a lot of my work, it kind of just explores these emotions that I find myself going through. And I tie it all back with this theme of like music and finding strength and like for me and like the music and the history of my elders and like ancestry and blackness and all of that.
That's coming up in this episode of Colors.
Simmering racial tensions.
Segregation now and tomorrow and forever.
Fighting injustice.
I have a dream.
Conflict looming.
Justice! Peace!
Brutality exposed.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
The search for solutions starts here.
From WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Colors, a dialogue on race in America.
My name is Gretchen Soren. I'm African-American, and I live in Springfield Center, New York.
My name is Adam Carter. I am white, and I am from South St. Paul, Minnesota.
My name is Jesslyn. I am a multiracial woman raised primarily by white people. I live in Oakland, California.
And I'm J.J. Green, and I'm black. And this is Colors. Our next guest is a young woman we've known since she was a child, literally. She was 17 years old when we met her. She's now 21. Short distance, but a lot of growth in that time. Sasa Akil is her name. She was first on this podcast after she had done a postcard campaign called A Man Was Lynched Today after George Floyd was killed in 2020. She joins us now to talk about her brand new book. Sasa, thank you for joining us. You have just set a record. You are making your third appearance on Colors. Nobody has ever done that. We have done, close to 200 episodes now. Nobody has done a third appearance. And maybe that has something to do with folks not wanting to come back. But some of it may have to do with the fact that you are really great. And, I loved you from the beginning when we first spoke to you. Mm-hmm. You were 17 years old and you were doing big things then. That was a while ago now. And you're like an old lady now, right?
I am. 21.
21 years old. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back.
Well, thank you for congratulations for everything you've done over the years. And part of the reason why you're here today is you've just dropped a book, and correct me if I'm wrong, the title is The Culmination of All My Despair and the Music That Saves Me. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
So I dropped first ever chat book with a very long title.
So what's it about? And why? First of all, what is it about? Let me just ask that question, then I'll go to some others.
Yeah. Okay. So this book is about I think me, really, and just the things that I think about, I experience, I enjoy, things that I love, and things that make me sad in the world. And I think like a lot of my work, it kind of just explores these emotions that I find myself going through. And I tie it all back with this theme of like music and finding strength. And like for me, and like the music and the history of my elders and like ancestry and Blackness and all of that.
Well, why did you decide to do this though?
Yeah, so this is a book that I published as part of the Youth Poet Laureate program. I was the Youth Poet Laureate of Montgomery County, as you know. And so that program attached a publication of a chapbook. It's CHAPBOOK, chapbook, which is a short poetry collection. And so I worked on it for a long time, because I was the Youth Poet Laureate back in 2021, and finally now in 2024, it was ready to be shared with the world.
Okay, so give me the highlights here. What do you like most about it? What is it that you want us to see or and get most from this project?
Yeah, I wish I had it with me. My favorite thing about it is I think it really is a strong, cohesive, just collection of my work. And I think it really tells the story that I'm interested in telling, which is talking about my identity as a Black American Muslim woman, and really tapping into the ways that I am influenced and I am empowered by my family and my history and just the community of, I think, Blackness that I've been so blessed to be a part of. And so I'm super proud of that. I'm proud of the cover. I think the cover is beautiful. I designed it myself. I'm so proud of that because it was so hard. yeah, and I'm just proud to have it in the world.
So to that design and that cover and you're being proud of that, we first met because of your artistic exploits back in 2020. And you did a very impressive postcard campaign. So for our new listeners, remind us old folks and introduce the new folks to what that was about.
Yeah. I first came on Colors podcast to talk about A Man Was Lynched Yesterday project, which is a project that I started in 2020 after the brutal murder of George Floyd. And so it was my way of creating a an action that people could take collectively. And so I hand printed, like with my hands in a block print, over 700 postcards. And I sent them out to individuals who then sent those to political leaders in the areas, friends and family, police department. And it was kind of a call to action.
So how did you get from there to where you are now? From an intellectual, an artistic point of view, how'd you get from there to where you are now?
Yeah, I think honestly, I'm in multiple places at once all the time. And so I think a lot of what is a part, has become a part of my chapbook was in my mind during that time. But really just taking time to sit back, to reflect on the project that I did and kind of what was successful about it, what wasn't, and then kind of take time to read. Back in 2020, I asked my mom a lot. I was like, I want to change the world. How do I do that? Me at 17. And she told me to read. And so I think that really shaped a lot of where I ended up, because I read history, I read art history, I read anything honestly that I could find. Mm-hmm. And I think it really shaped my voice as a creative and as a poet.
And speaking of which, being the poet laureate for Montgomery County in Maryland, when was that and how was that?
Yeah. So in 2021, I was the inaugural Youth Poet Laureate of Montgomery County, so the first ever. And it was that my term was that entire year. It's a position where you write poetry, but it's also a civic position. You're supposed to be engaged with the communities around you and kind of bring poetry to people who might not otherwise have access. And so I spent time doing events at libraries and teaching workshops to young people. I taught a monthly free workshop online because it was 2021. So we were still recovering from a lot of the COVID restrictions. And really tried to be active in my community and give back to the places that really shaped me and what I was able to do as a poet.
How did, give me your experience. How did that experience shape you, help you? What did you feel while you were doing that experience? What were the best
You know, just give me the 411, the full deal on how you felt in that position and all the experiences.
You know, I think it was a great time. And I'm only realizing now how much it actually helped me, especially when it comes to being an art professional and how to make that kind of work in your life. And I'm getting to the end of my college career. I'll be graduating on May 11th. And so like, these are things that are really paying off for me to like have accomplished back then. And so I learned how to email people. I learned how to send invoices. It was a whole lot. But it was also just such a blessing and an honor. And I grew so much and ended up in so many different spaces that I wouldn't otherwise have been in. And therefore was able to grow and educate myself and help to educate others.
Mm. Yeah. Speaking of graduation, fill us in on that. We haven't talked much about that in our two previous conversations. Well, in the first one, you weren't in college. The last time we spoke, you were probably too busy to talk to us because you had all that schoolwork to do. But now that you're graduating, tell us where you're graduating from, what you're getting your degree in, and give us some sense of how that experience has been.
Yeah. Do you know what's crazy, JJ? I'm like suddenly becoming aware of like the passage of time in a new way.
Oh, really? You're just aware of that now, aren't you?
In a new way. Because, you know, like when we met, it was 2020 and like time was fake.
Yeah, you were a baby then.
Yeah, I really was. And like, it's 4 years later. And it's I think it's wild to me sometimes to look back and see what I was doing at that age. Like, that's crazy. But anyways, so now I'm graduating. I had like been going into college when we first met, and now I'm graduating. And I'm excited. I'm really, truly excited. It's been an amazing time. I've been studying fine arts at Howard University, which has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. I've been concentrating in ceramics. And actually, as we're recording this, I'm sitting in the ceramic studio. And this place has really become my life. I'm here more than I'm home. And so studying, I think, at an HBCU has been truly powerful and formational for me in how I approach art and how I approach art as activism in a way that like reflects where I started with the Manuals Lynch Yesterday project, but also is so much more developed and evolved now that I've spent time around members of AfriCobra and things like that. So it's been amazing, and I'm graduating next week, and I'll actually be speaking at the College of Fine Arts graduation as the valedictorian. So I'm really excited about that.
Wow.
That should be a secret, but it's fine.
Wow. That's impressive, Sasa. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. I'm glad you achieved that. And, you know, I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised at all. And I'm really hoping that all of that experience will be nothing but another portal for you to enjoy some more success to go through. What is next for you? Do you know yet?
I actually do know, because I'm an anxious person, so I over-prepare. So I'll be working part-time at a nonprofit doing communications work and some writing work. I'll also be practicing as an artist on my off hours. I'll be continuing to host the open mic that I've been hosting every month for the past year and a half. And I will also be helping to coordinate an exhibition that'll be happening in Atlanta. So I have a lot of different things going on, and I'm very excited to just continue developing myself as an artist and a creative person. And of course, getting my books out into the world by going and performing at different places and kind of just sharing the things that I've created so far.
And what is it that you think right now that you'd like to say or share, if anything, about the current racial situation in this country? When we first met, there, of course, was the George Floyd situation going on. And college campuses were really right in the middle of that. And there is another situation going on right now. College campuses are the epicenter of these protests as well that have to do with the Gaza war. And it's gotten into some situations where it's been unfortunate, where people have been arrested, some people have been hurt. And a lot of people have been hurt by a lot of the words that have been hurled around. And I'm wondering, how are you looking at all of this?
Yeah, I think it's really It's a whole bucket of emotions. I'm proud of my peers for standing up for what's right, which is standing against genocide. And we know that it is a plausible case of genocide. And I'm really concerned for my peers who have been, like at UCLA, they've been physically and brutally assaulted and under attack for hours. I'm concerned about my peers who are being having police raids in their space. And I think I'm also just very concerned about the discourse that's being had. You mentioned words. And as a poet, I believe in the power of words. And I've been very blessed to have some very close relationships with some Jewish American poets who have been operating in this space. And I've been, yeah, just thinking about kind of the levels of understanding and misunderstanding that we have with each other. And so I will always say, free Palestine until the day I die. But I've been thinking a lot about how do we hold each other sacred and hold and have respect for each other in every moment, while also standing up for what is right. And so, yeah, I don't know. There is so much to be said.
Yeah,
and I try to do my best to navigate it all. And I turn to my pen, my clay when I'm really at a loss.
One of the things that I've really enjoyed about you and your young life is the fact that you are very wise beyond what most folks would say your years. But I believe that that's not real. I believe that you are who you are, and you've been here a lot longer than the 21 years that you're talking about. And that's true for a lot of people. I mean, but in your particular case, you know, this stands out, especially right now, because of what you just said. You know, you're always going to say free Palestine, but you're also going to see the other side, too. And the fact that you can see both sides of this conflict, this situation right now, speaks volumes. Because one of the problems that people often have when things like this come up is sometimes we get pressured into taking a side, pressured into thinking one way and only in favor of one point of view. But you're able to see value in all people. I think that's what you're saying, and value in all points of view, at least as long as they're respectful. And did I get that right?
Well, I do want to clarify that I 100% do take a side, and I am on the side of freedom for the Palestinian people and them having self-determination and equal human rights. But I can also say, that I believe that human life is important and is valuable. And so there is no cause to celebrate any loss of human life ever. And if people are in danger, there is something that needs to be done to make sure that they are safe. And I will say that the way that the state of Israel has approached that safety has been wrong in my estimation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, I understand that.
Yeah.
I guess, let me ask you this question then. What do you say to Jewish people who say, students who say that they feel threatened on campuses right now?
Well, I would ask why. And then I think feeling threatened is a twofold thing, because one is, do you feel threatened and you are threatened? And then two, if you feel threatened, why do you feel threatened? And I think it's really important in this conversation, we kind of lose ourselves in talking about how harmed one side is versus the other, instead of looking at the fact that both sides are being harmed by the same exact issue. And so I think one thing that people have been saying a lot recently that I really love is that all of our liberation is connected. And everything that's harming us is the same thing. And so, like, in talking with some of my Jewish American friends, I'm kind of learning to look at the issue of anti-Semitism in the same light, in the same breath that I look at the issues of Islamophobia. And so when we talk about this harm and we talk about this unsafety, if that's a word, we need to just think about how it applies to all of us and how can we come together then and make the world safe. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we all have to agree, but it means that we all have to care and be in conversation, which I think is really what's missing in this kind of in this specific moment, I think conversation and dialogue between everyone is missing because no one really wants to hear anyone else's perspective.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So I just, I'm thinking about why do you feel unsafe? Or do you just feel uncomfortable? And how can we make it so that a real threat is actually being dealt with?
Well, that's interesting. I have spent the last couple of days talking with a group of Palestinian and Jewish students who have formed an organization called Atidna, which is the word Atidna comes from a Hebrew word, future, Atid, and Na from the Arab word our. So basically it means our future. And this group of students, they have come together and they do see each other's point of view. And they do see that, and this is at the University of Texas at Austin, and they've got chapters at four other schools. But I'm really impressed with the fact that they have actually, they started this dialogue 2 years before this whole thing started. It started in 2022. But they, like you, have talked about the value of everybody. You know, talked about the value of points of view, but at the end of the day, talked about how to do this in a respectful and peaceful way, which is, from my perspective, something that we on Colors have been after from the very beginning, how to do what we're going to do in a peaceful and respectful way. So it's good to hear you clarify your views on this, and I appreciate that and respect that. What can you share with us about, I guess, you talked to us a bit about what you're going to do next, but what can you share with us about what you're taking away from these college years as you leave that behind and move to the next chapter and start the next thing?
I mean, so much. Like when I say that being at Howard has been like the most important like phase of my life, I really, really mean that. Like everything big, everything super transformative has happened. Basically, as soon as I started Howard, like things started changing in my personal life and then, of course, in my education. And so I take with me, I think, me, like the me that I've become, you know, like the Sasa that has formed from being in this beautiful space. And I get to walk away as me and also continue to evolve and continue to be willing to grow and learn. I think the things that I've learned about art history and African-American art history and kind of the places that I now know where I can pull inspiration and pull information and wisdom is really powerful. I also walk away with relationships. I have the ceramics program here at Howard is super small. So everyone who's in it is my family now, and they're my clay family and they will always be. I have amazing, amazing professors who I've had the blessing to study under, like Melanie Harvey and Reginald Poynter, who I will be holding tight to for guidance in as I move forward in my life. So yeah, just like really, really so much.
Well, thank you. And we will continue to follow you through life as long as we're able to. And hopefully you will remember us and stay connected to us in some way. Sasa, thank you so much. Anything you want to add before we let you go?
No, I was just going to say, I know I've made a record of being on here 3 times, but a big part of it is because I very much value hearing your ideas and your thoughts and your perspectives. So thank you so much for having me again.
Of course. Thank you so much, Sasa. Stay tuned for some thoughts about race in America and details about our next guest.
You're listening to Colors.
My name is Sara Kamali. I'm a first-generation American whose parents were born in Afghanistan. I'm currently on Chumash land in California. Race is a sociopolitical construct that has been wielded as a tool of oppression and power. The term I prefer for race is skin color, and the term I use instead of racism is skin color oppression, because both of these terms point to the fact that superficial differences are exploited when discussing race and racism. In the United States, the notion that the white race is inherently biologically and culturally superior has justified centuries of denying human beings the same dignity, rights, and opportunities of their white counterparts. Examples include the enslavement of black people and the genocide of indigenous Americans, to the xenophobic violence targeting many communities of color, including Asians, Latinos, and religious communities like Jews, Muslims, and Sikhs. This is despite the fact that whiteness itself is a fluid category that has changed over time. Race, or the categorizing of people by physical features like skin color, is also the underlying foundation of white supremacy, which is justified by a pseudoscience called eugenics, which really came to the fore in the 1800s. The false concept of race and the pseudoscience of eugenics have both been leveraged by white nationalists in Europe, Australasia, and North America, particularly the United States, to demand a white ethno-state, oftentimes through terror. Ultimately, the concept of race is a fallacy because we are all one race, the human race.
This is Colors, a dialogue on race in America.
If you have any questions or comments about Colors, send us an email. You can reach us at colors@thecolorspodcast.com. That's colors@thecolorspodcast.com.
Coming up in our next episode of Colors.
Her name is Sabrina Singh.
I grew up in California. I'm first generation Indian American.
You've probably seen her many times on television. She's the deputy spokesperson for the Pentagon.
Didn't really know what I wanted to do after college. I went to University of Southern California.
So how did she end up at the Pentagon?
What got me out to Washington, D.C. was actually an internship on the Hill.
And what was it like getting there? And what's the rest of her life like?
That's coming up in our next episode of Colors.
Thank you, as always, for listening to Colors. Thank you for sharing the word about it to others and bringing them into our listening family. Thanks to everybody that's helped us to put this together. Thanks to Mike Jakaitis. Thanks to Hillary Howard. Thanks to Jennifer Min. Thanks to Akash Gandhi for the music. Thanks to Jesse Gallagher. Thanks to Cosmic. And most of all, thank you for listening. And as they always say, remember, keep talking to each other.
And just as important, keep listening to each other.
You can subscribe to Colors wherever you get your podcasts. This is Colors, a dialogue on race in America.